color, loved by some, feared by others. She's a mortal light.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling. Ciao, Penguin Radio listeners. This is DJ Amore, and welcome to another exciting show on the Travel Diaries. I'm here at Penguin Radio every Wednesday, live from 5 to 6 p.m., Each week on my show, I talk about my trips through Europe and tell stories of my experience traveling as a study abroad student last semester, as well as some tips and fun facts for those of you who want to travel the world. Last week on my show, I had a guest come in, my friend Mariah. Shout out to Mariah for coming into my show. Thank you so much for doing that. And we talked about our amazing trip to Paris, France, the city of love. The whole show is pretty much about Paris in general because I had the opportunity to travel there twice and I wanted to share both my experiences there. The first time was with some friends of mine in my class and the second was with Mariah. She studied abroad in France last semester, so we planned a trip where she came to visit me in Milan and I went with her back to France for a weekend, which was pretty convenient and really awesome. We had planned to do a bunch of things together when we were back home before we had left, but that wasn't how it turned out, which is totally fine because we were lucky enough to go to Rome together for Easter and then to Paris and her coming to Milan to see me. And they were all great, really good trips, and I'm super happy we were able to do that. So thank you, Mariah. Paris was everything I expected it to be and more, and I fell in love with the city of love. I know that might be cliche, but it's the truth. I would recommend Paris to be on everyone's travel bucket list. If you missed this show and would like to hear it, check it out on radio.dominican.edu on my travel diaries page. So you can go on the radio on the website and look up current student shows for fall 2016, and you'll see all the show names and the DJs and each show we've done, and just go ahead and click on the ones you missed and listen in. For today's show, I'm going to be traveling back to my trip to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Amsterdam was high up on my list of places to go, and I was so lucky to have my good friend Angela want to come with me. Angela and I lived on the same hallway in our dorm building, Buonarroti, in Milan, and her and I got along so well from day one of moving to Italy, and I have so many incredible memories and stories made with her. So shout out to my best friend, Angela. If you're listening, I miss you so much, and I can't wait to see you again. Hopefully, that'll be very soon. We have the travel bug after doing this and can't seem to get rid of it, so we're hoping to plan a graduation trip for next summer to go to Portugal and Greece together, because those are two places we didn't actually get to go to being abroad. But that's totally fine. We got to do so many amazing other things, like go to Amsterdam. And so, yeah, I wanted to talk about how Angela and I really wanted to go to Amsterdam, but we had both just gotten back from our spring break trips around the time that we were talking about going. And, you know, we're super excited about the chance to go to Amsterdam and didn't realize until after starting already planning the trip that the weekend we wanted to go was actually our midterms weekend. We had midterms at our university in Milan. It was Universidad Cattolica de Sacro Cuore, which just means the University of the Sacred Heart. It's a Catholic college. It was a really nice school, one of the most prestigious colleges in Europe. But we realized that weekend that we had our midterms and, you know, our classes were actually kind of challenging. They were pretty intense. Even though they were international classes and were in English, they were still, you know, you had to make time for them. You really had to study and make sure you were getting all the material down. And so when the test came around, you would do well because you want your credits to transfer over okay back to your home university. So we realized we were about to try and go on a trip that weekend, and then when we got back on that Sunday night, it would be finals, like it'd be midterms the next day on that Monday. So we had a moment of trying to be responsible, a moment of maybe rethinking going. And then one other thing too was that we literally just got back from spring break, and that was about 2 weeks for us. She and I didn't travel together, but we went to similar places. And when we both got back to Bunurothi and saw each other, the first thing we said was, "I'm so broke, I have no money." Because we obviously, you want to make a budget for yourself when you go abroad, especially if you're a college student and you're a study abroad student, and you probably also her and I had a budget, and we had to count out that budget for each trip you wanted to go on. So for our budget for spring break, we had both gone over it by quite a bit and had to struggle through that and talk about it. And it was funny because then I was saying to her, "We should go to Amsterdam," and she thought I was crazy, but I convinced her, and we just said, "You know what, whatever. This is a one-time opportunity." So we came to the conclusion, since that's one-time opportunity, to just go for it. And we went for it. We bought plane tickets to go to Amsterdam that weekend. We had just gotten back that Sunday. Then we had to go to classes Monday through Thursday. And we left to go to Amsterdam that Friday. We were there all weekend, came back on Sunday. And then that following Monday, we had our midterms for the rest of the week. It was brutal. And I'm pretty sure Angela is still upset with me about having not really planned it that great. We could have probably gone at a different time, but anyway, it worked out, and I think we both did okay with our overall grades of our classes towards the end, so that's all that matters. I wanted to give a little fun fact about Amsterdam. Amsterdam is the capital of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. It has a population of 842,343 in the city and about 1.3 million in the urban area. The city is located in the province of North Holland. This was kind of confusing for me when I got there. I always assumed Amsterdam was this, I knew it was a city, but the confusing part was it was in Holland, but Holland's in the Netherlands, and I didn't really know what the Netherlands was. So I had to do my research, and I'm trying to explain it to you now. I don't know if I'm doing that great of a job. But so Holland is famous for not only Amsterdam, but for their bulb flower fields, which are practically everywhere. They're, turn your head and there's one. Turn your head the other way and there's another one. They just go on and on for miles. And they're a bunch of different colors. They're so beautiful. So they're really well known for that, as well as their windmills, cheese markets, wooden shoes, so clog shoes. I used to have a pair when I was little. They were super cute, and I saw some exactly like it when I was in Amsterdam, which was really exciting. Too bad I couldn't bring those back with me because, they're huge and it wouldn't fit in my suitcase. But I had a moment where I thought about it, taking them with me. And they're also famous for their streets, the canals between the streets. And it took me a while to realize that Holland's mostly known for the bulb flower fields and the windmills and, the wood shoes, but Amsterdam itself is famous for so many other things, mostly the cheese markets and the canals between the streets. So just to get it clarified, I realized that Amsterdam is a city in Holland, which is a province in the Netherlands, and the Netherlands is a kingdom that has a bunch of different provinces. Hopefully I explained that well, and I'm not confused, so I'm hopefully making you not confused, my listeners. Well, I'll get back to Amsterdam right after this short break. I'm DJ Amore telling you to get up and go explore. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Well, I know we go around, 'cause I know the sound. I know the sound, yeah, yeah.
there, Penguins. You're listening to the Travel Diaries. That was The Sound by the 1975. For those of you listeners who enjoyed that song, I went to see them in concert when I was in Amsterdam, and they're one of my favorite bands. I wanted to share that with you. I'm DJ Amore, and this is Penguin Radio. Before the break, I was talking about my first trips to Paris and getting started with Amsterdam. I had an eventful time in Amsterdam with my friend Angela, and we did everything we possibly could while there. So that night, I think we left on a Thursday night, and we had class that day, so we left Thursday night, and it was also a cheaper flight. You always want to check those out when you're going somewhere on the weekend. Look at, like, EasyJet, look at Ryanair, and see which days have the cheapest flights. It'll usually be on a weekday, so, like, Monday through Thursday. And if you're going away for the weekend, it's really good to get flights on Thursday night and then get a hotel just one extra night. And then go to the hotel once you get to your destination, sleep, and then the next day wake up refreshed and have the whole day and the whole weekend to go explore. So we got in that night to Amsterdam, and we actually had got a really good price on a hotel airport. And I think I said this before in a previous show, but I always would look for hotels by transportation. So I would usually stay at hotels that were by the airport. And I did that because it was just easier when you were getting off your flight to know that where you were staying was super close to you. And it was easier when you had to leave to go back to where you're staying, like I was in Milan. So when I was leaving to go back to Milan, it was nice to be near an airport and I wouldn't have to get up super early to get there. And I'd, you know, be super close so I could just get on a taxi or a shuttle and call it a day. Never late for my flight when I did that. I also did stay at a lot of hostels, though. They're just way cheaper than hotels. But airport hotels are also pretty cheap. And we got this hotel for a really good deal. I think it was 160 euro for the whole weekend. One bedroom, two beds. It was great. And we were thinking that it wasn't going to be that nice. But then we get there, and it's super nice. It was one of the nicest hotels that I stayed in when I was in Europe. And a fun tip for that, I just want to tell you, the hotel name was called Ibis Hotels. So when you're looking for a cheap but still comfortable hotel to stay in, look up Ibis Hotels. They're all over Europe. I stayed in one in Amsterdam. I stayed in one in London. And I think I stayed in one in Germany, too, in Berlin. So that was, like, my go-to hotel whenever I wanted to stay in a hotel. I would usually do that when it was a good price or I was traveling alone, just because staying at hostels can be kind of uncomfortable if you're by yourself. It's better to go to a hostel with friends. That's just my opinion. You can totally do whatever you want. You're going to meet a bunch of different new people in hostels. Hotels too, but more so hostels. But for me, Ibis Hotels was a great option for us staying there. So anyway, we got to the hotel. We were super tired. It was probably almost midnight, and we wanted to get started early in the morning the next day. So we checked into our hotel room and went to bed, like, straight away. And the first day in Amsterdam, the next day after we slept in on accident. We meant to get up at 8, and we got up at 10. It was kind of depressing because we had tickets to go see the Anne Frank House, and we missed our ticket time. So when we got there after getting on a bus and some trams to get to the Anne Frank House, we had to wait in line for 2 hours. And it was brutal because we had tickets. It was just for the wrong time. So even with the tickets, we still had to wait 2 hours. And the line I had read about online wrapped around blocks, like not just the building itself, but blocks. Like it went for 4 blocks around the museum. And it was like wrapped up and down the streets and like parking lots and like canals and sidewalks and back alleys. It was crazy. But at the same time, I understood because people are coming to this place to see this museum of Anne Frank, and this could be like their one and only chance. Like it was my one and only chance because I'm probably not going to get to do that for a while. Maybe if I get lucky, it'll be sooner than that. But for most people, it made sense. So we waited in line for 2 hours, and that's an everyday thing, by the way. So if you're ever going to go to the Anne Frank House, make sure you buy tickets in advance, and then you can cut the line, and that's what I always recommend. But still, now I can say I waited in the line, and it was an experience, and, you know, all that fun stuff. Real quick, if you don't know who Anne Frank is, let me just give you a quick biography of her. She was a German-born diarist, so she wrote a diary, and a writer. She is one of the most discussed Jewish victims of the Holocaust. Through the publication of her diary, The Diary of a Young Girl, The Secret Annex, which documents her life in a hiding from 1942 to 1944 during the German occupation of the Netherlands in World War II. So she unfortunately died at Auschwitz concentration camp when she was 15. And part of the reason she's so famous is because of the way she died, being a part of the Holocaust, being Jewish, and also writing this diary about her experience. And the house she lived in, the Anne Frank House Museum, with her and her family lived in, is still intact. It's in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. You can go see it. I went to go see it. I waited in line for 2 hours, and I was in there for 2 hours. It was really small, and there wasn't that much to see, but there really is. There's so much to see. They had, even though they're small rooms, they had on things on the wall, old paintings she had done, you know, her journal and different pages all over everywhere. There was videos of the concentration camps and interviews with her family and herself, and it really was just an eye-opening experience. Even though I already knew about it, I had read her diary in elementary school, I think probably like sixth grade. But I remember everything I read because it just stuck with me because it's just so powerful and so strong. And it was a big reason why I wanted to go see the actual house. And yeah, Angela and I went together. We were inside the museum for 2 hours, and it was just one of the most eye-opening experiences from my abroad trip. Another fun fact about that is the movie from the Diary of Anne Frank, made in 1959 by George Stevens, won 3 Oscars, and Shelley Winters, who played Miss Van Dan, one of the other refugees who was living in the house with the Frank family, left her award to the Anne Frank House Museum, and it is still displayed there. She won the award for Best Supporting Actress at the 1960 Academy Awards, so I thought that was pretty cool, and I wanted to share that. So when you're going to Amsterdam, going to the Anne Frank House is a must. You got to put that on your list of places to go. It was just really something I've always wanted to do. And it was, you know, one of those moments where you can't really replace that. You just got to go see it for yourself. After the Anne Frank House, my friend Angela and I, were in search for lunch. It was kind of late in the day. We got there at around 11. We were there for 2 hours. It got like around 1, and it was, you know, past lunchtime, but we were still really hungry. And I was determined to find this place called Pancakes. Let me tell you why. In Italy, breakfast isn't really a thing. Not the way Americans think of breakfast. Breakfast for us is like pancakes or like oatmeal with like coffee and orange juice and maybe a glass of milk or something, some kind of fruit, eggs, an omelet. Like, we go all out with breakfast. Breakfast is my favorite kind of lunch. I mean, my favorite kind of meal. That's not a thing in Italy. Italy, breakfast is a croissant or some kind of pastry with coffee or an espresso shot, and that's it. I had a hard time finding any kind of pancake restaurant at all. I never did, actually. I had to make my own pancakes. So when I went to Amsterdam, I was super excited to have some pancakes. Let me tell you, they know how to make a pancake. Theirs were delicious. Really, really different than American pancakes, but I was totally cool with it because just how different they are and how delicious they were. I was excited, and I hadn't had breakfast like that in so long. So it was just I went to this place called Pancakes with an exclamation point and a little like dough man as a sign. It was really cute. And they had some really good, interesting pancakes. And we spent the rest of the afternoon after that walking around the canals of Amsterdam. We did that until we had to head back to the hotel to get ready for a concert. The song I played for you before, The Sound by 1975, I actually, part of the reason I wanted to go to Amsterdam that specific weekend was because they were having a concert in Amsterdam, and I didn't have any other free time to go to any other concerts they had in Europe, so made it happen, bought tickets for myself and Angela, and we went to that concert that night. It was a pretty fabulous day. Shout out to Angela again, because she had no idea who that band was. And for like 2 weeks before this, I'd had her listening to it just so she could like prepare and know some of the songs maybe. And I actually bought her ticket for her because I felt so bad. Like, she was totally down to do it. She was going to buy her ticket. But I said that I would, because it wasn't that much. It was like 36 euro, which compared to how much it is out here in the States, that was nothing. That was like a t-shirt. I was so happy about that. But I felt bad because I'm like, she doesn't know this band. I want to go. I know them. I love them. So I bought her a ticket. We went. It was at the Heineken Music Hall, which was also really amazing to see and be inside of. And the line to go inside was really, really long. Like, I'm used to waiting in long lines, but this line was super long. I was in shock. But then we get inside, and it's massive inside. So I got to stand really close to the stage, closer than I ever have before. And then, like, once I was tired of doing that, I got to go sit down where Angela was because they had so many open seats, and it was just incredible. I am so happy I did that. But I just want to say, for those of you listening, check out 975. They're an amazing band. They are located in Manchester, United Kingdom. They are British, but they do world tours. They're actually in the United States right now. They just had a show, I think, in San Jose, like, last weekend. I think they're in Southern California right now, and then they'll be going all over the rest of the country, mostly on the West Coast, within the next few weeks. But look them up, you know, look up their album. They're on iTunes, they're on Spotify. Check them out. They're a great band. I love their music, and I just wanted to share. I'm going to play some travel tunes for you now, and we'll be right back. I'm DJ Morey, telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
That smile on your face makes it easy to trust you.
This is what I can feel like in the nighttime. Watch what she do when the light shine. Drunk, trying to talk in a strip club. Shout the silhouette, look like a dollar sign. Caught up, that's just how I'm brought up. Blowing ones for your loony, silken tank. Straight bells for your toony, silken tank. My look bigger than a bouncer. Roll up in the brick, they'll smell like an ounce. Right quick, tight jeans on so she feel my ish. Tell me something good, baby. Tell me something good, shout it. Come bring it to the hood, baby. Bring it back to the hood, shout. This what Saga feel like in the nighttime. Bust it up and shorty when the light shine. Step, won't you say it? Tug and tap. I know you wanna break, I know you wanna break from Toronto. Oh, West side, oh, no.
Back on Penguin Radio, you're listening to the Travel Diaries. This is DJ Amore, and that last song was Back from Toronto by A Party Next Door. Before the break, I was talking about my first day in Amsterdam with my friend Angela. For those of you tuning in, I'm going to continue on with my story of day two in Amsterdam. Day one was a relaxing morning, tour of Anne Frank House, pancakes, and 1975 concert. A pretty good first day in my book. So after the concert, it was really late at night. It was probably 1 in the morning when we got out of the concert, and Angela and I were just so tired. So we took a bus all the way back to our hotel, which was in kind of out the way from Amsterdam, but it's okay. Took a bus back and probably went to bed like about 2 in the morning. So the next day, we slept in. We decided we deserved it. We had a great first day. We had one more day in Amsterdam to do everything else we wanted to do. So we slept in until I think about 10 or 11. We went hardcore. We love sleep, Angela and I. Ask her, she'll tell you. Super into sleeping. So, after we woke up, we decided to go ahead and go back into the city. We probably didn't leave till about noon. We took a while, took our time, had breakfast, got nice, well, pretty looking. And then it took about an hour for waiting on the trams and, like, going on the trams once we actually got into Amsterdam, into the city, looking for another pancake place called the Pancake Bakery. We had a really small breakfast that morning when we woke up and then kind of waited the rest of the time just getting ready. So we were really hungry once we got back. It was about maybe 2 in the afternoon. And again, I was determined to find another pancake place. So we found this one called the Pancake Bakery in the Red Light District. It had really good reviews. I heard about it before from other friends. So we went on a mission to find that. I had my handy little map, and we were taking a bunch of different trams, getting on the A line and the B line, and we got pretty good at figuring out where we were going without our phones, mind you. That will happen, by the way. If you have, if you have a really big connection to your phone, be ready to not have one when you get to Europe, because you will have all kinds of up and down connection service with your phone, and you're going to need to know how to look at a map and figure out streets and such while you're somewhere else. Real quick about the red light district, just a fun fact. The red light district of Amsterdam is popular for its brothels and sex shops and various museums. It's called this because of the women of all nationalities who parade around in red fringe window parlors. If that doesn't sound like a place for you, then the safest time to go is during the day. At night is when the lights actually come on. I just wanted to share that just to give you a heads up. For those of you out there who aren't into that stuff, like myself, you want to watch out, avoid the red light district at nighttime. It's really pretty during the day. There's a bunch of canals and other kinds of museums, like the Tulip Museum was really fun, the Pancake Bakery, all kinds of stuff, all the kinds of bike riding. But at night is when those windows are open and there are ladies in them dancing. Just letting you know. Another fun thing to know, coffee shops in Amsterdam. Be careful. Because sometimes you'll walk into a coffee shop and they're not going to have coffee, if you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, they're weed shops, pretty much. Amsterdam, I'm sure most of you know, is a pretty big place for weed. Everyone smokes it there. It's actually legal in a small amount of, I think it's like a gram or like 3 grams you can have in public and like smoke it on the street. And the police officers aren't going to arrest you or pull you over like they would in California. But it is still illegal, so you can't have a big amount. And you can go into these coffee shops and have it there. I don't know why they call them coffee shops. Don't ask me. I asked somebody when I was there. They couldn't tell me either. I'm just letting you know. Heads up. Watch out for the red light district and watch out for coffee shops. If you want to be in a coffee shop, go be in a coffee shop. You go. But if you don't want actual coffee, go to a cafe, not a coffee shop. Fun fact for you. Another tip is when going to the Pancake Bakery in Amsterdam, order yourself some puffigers to start. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. I'm attempting to say it in a Netherlands accent. That's an actual word that they use. I think it's spelled P-O-F-F-E-R-T-G-E-S or J-E-S, sorry. And they're delicious. They're like little mini pancake balls covered in like some like chocolate with like powdered sugar, or you can have it with syrup and powdered sugar. But oh my god, they were amazing. And I just asked the waitress, I was thinking, I just want something to start before I have my actual breakfast. And she said, get some puffigers, or however they pronounce it. And I said, okay. They were delicious. I will never regret that. I miss them so much. I don't even know how to replicate that. And I'm actually really hungry right now, and thinking about that is making me even more hungry. But I have to tell you, that's a tip. When you're in Amsterdam, go to the Pancake Bakery and get puffigers. Great little pancake things. Angela and I actually ate so much pancake and eggs and those puffigers. We didn't have to eat food the rest of the day. Like, the rest of the day, we didn't have to go anywhere else. It was after brunch, like somewhere between supper and dinner, we had gone there. And we were there for like almost 2 hours just eating and drinking coffee and having a great old time. So we were good the rest of the day. And after that, I was also determined to go to the Fault in Our Stars bench. After talking about this last few segments, I'm realizing now that I kind of controlled the entire Amsterdam trip. And I just want to apologize to Angela right now. I hope you had a good time. I think you told me you did. I pretty much planned the whole entire thing. And I only know if you ever got a say in what you wanted to do. I definitely tried to. I think you were good with all the pancakes. But anyway, I really wanted to go find the Fault in Our Stars bench, and she was cool with that, I believe. She had seen the movie, but it's also a book, for those of you who don't know. It's about two characters, Hazel Grace and Augustus Waters. Love them so much. In the movie, they're played by Ansel Gore and Shailene Woodley, and it's about it's a girl and a boy who have different kinds of cancer. Oh, I think it's cancer, leukemia. Anyway, she has like liquid in her lungs, and they're, you know, the really, really sick kids. And anyway, they get part of the movie and part of the book, not to spoil it for you, just real quick, they get to go to Amsterdam, and there's this bench in one of the scenes where they're sitting, and it's a really emotional scene, and everyone's like in love with that bench. It's an actual place in Amsterdam, so I was on a mission to find it. And guess what? I found it. It was super fun. And unfortunately, I found out that the original bench from the movie had been stolen, which I also kind of think is really weird. Like, I don't know how someone goes and just unscrews a bench off of a sidewalk and then steals it. Like, it's a public property of Amsterdam, but someone did. and they had to replace the bench, but that was totally fine because fans of Fault in Our Stars went to that bench too, signed it, put locks on it, just made it how sweet it was in the movie. And I was excited to see that spot where they was filmed and like the area and like everything around it was what I remembered from the movie and the book, and it was just really cool. I love doing stuff like that. If you listened to my last show when I was in Paris, I did something similar for the Me Before You book and movie in the Pont Neuf, Place de Dauphine in Paris. It was really pretty square. So I'm just the kind of person that really gets involved in those kinds of books and like lives off that kind of stuff, and it's just really great. And to be able to go to those places in real life is so amazing. Love doing stuff like that. So if you're like that, or even if you're not, just, you know, check those things out. Like, you're there, so go find things that interest you, because it'll make it that much more memorable. I'm never going to forget doing that. I have so many pictures, you know, so just always documenting things. And so after I had my moment with the Fault in Our Stars bench, which I found super easy, by the way, wasn't even hard. I thought it'd take me all day. When I found it, I had like a little panic attack. It was great. So after we were done with the Fault in Our Stars tour, or Fault in Our Stars bench, Angela and I decided just to walk around for a little bit, and we wanted to do two more things. Angela really wanted to go to the Heineken Brewery Factory. It's called, like, it was like a Heineken tour experience. That's like a bunch of different names. And I was interested too, but I had also really, really wanted to go on a canal cruise in Amsterdam, because they have so many canals. Pretty much every street in Amsterdam has a canal. And they have all kinds of boats everywhere. Like, people live on their boats. They had houseboats in the canals. They had water taxis. And they had the canal cruises, like the tours of Amsterdam. So I really wanted to do that. But she wanted to do the Heineken Brewery tour, and I did too. So after walking around and like going to some of the tourist shops, we bought tickets for the Heineken tour and for the canal cruise. And we just kind of switched it. So we went to the Heineken tour first, and then we went on the canal cruise at night. And the Heineken experience was at the original Heineken factory in Amsterdam. It's behind their Capitol building and the I Am Amsterdam sign, which is also a cool thing to go check out when you're there. And we walked there. We pretty much walked everywhere. It was all fairly close. If it wasn't, we took trams, which were first intimidating. I don't think we took the trams the first day, because we just figured out the bus system, and then trying to do trams too was just too much. But the next day we figured them out, and it was pretty simple after that. But we walked from the tour office after we bought our tickets to the factory. And when you get inside, we actually thought that it closed later than it did, but they closed at 9, and we had gotten there at like 7:30. So we were kind of being rushed through the whole thing. But anyway, it was still pretty cool. And just to see how Heineken was started, and like there was people like giving examples of like how they made the beer, like the kind of barley and like wheat they used, and the kind of water temperature they had it for, and how long they brewed it for, and how they did it. It was really awesome, the history of Heineken. And just to say, I was a Corona girl myself before this, but now I'm kind of favoring the Heineken. It was pretty good stuff. I didn't like it so much before this trip, but then after being in Europe for so long and Corona not really being in Europe, I started liking Heineken. And upside to this tour was that we got a bunch of free samples. So I had like 3 pints of beer towards the end of this tour, and I was feeling pretty good on my canal cruise, let me tell you. So I would definitely recommend going to the Heineken experience when you're in Amsterdam. They have some fun stuff there. Like, once you go through all the history and the lesson on how to make their beer, you can go to where they actually like brew it. These like giant gold, like, I don't even know what they're called. It's just like a giant gold pots with like ventilation system. And after you go through that, and like what you can do is like get your own beer bottle engraved with your name, like whatever you want to say. So of course, you know, the sucker I am, I paid 16 euro to get a bottle of Heineken beer engraved with my name on it. So I put Chrissy Amsterdam 2016, good times. I recommend doing that. Because then after that, you can go into this like animatronic, like, tour of like, it's like kind of, they say how if you were gonna be turned into beer, what it would be like, and the floor moves, and they have like a slideshow, and it was really fun. And after that, you go through in more rooms, and they take you to another little like fun interactive area. You can like sing along to some songs, drink some beer with people you just met. You can ride some bikes. It was just a really good time. They had such good like artistic stuff with their bottles and with the music and the lighting, and It was a really good time, and I recommend going. Definitely make the Heineken experience in Amsterdam something you want to do. After that, Angela and I finished once they closed about 9, and we went on a canal cruise through the nighttime canals of Amsterdam, and it was really fun. We pretty much had the whole entire boat to ourselves, and that was awesome. The lady driving was really tired, but she was really nice to us too, because I'm sure she had been giving those tours the whole day. But she was super nice, and it was just something I always wanted to do, just, you know, take that kind of canal cruise and peruse the waters of Amsterdam. And it's definitely a different perspective than you would have just walking around, because it goes a little faster and you're on the water and there's lights everywhere, and it's the tour, so like they'll tell you on your headphones like what you're passing by. So that was pretty fun. We got to see the Anne Frank house again from that perspective as we went by, and it was just a good time. I really enjoyed it, and I honestly think, you know, you can do it during the day, you can do it at night. Either way, it's going to be a great time. Even if you're, like, afraid of water, like, don't be. I'm super afraid of ships. I mentioned on one of my previous shows, like, deathly afraid. The Titanic did not help me at all. But, you know, smaller boats, I'm cool. I can go fishing. I can go on a canal cruise. It just really kind of not romantic so much. I guess it could be if you're with somebody you want to be romantic with, but other than that, it's just a fun time to go with your friends and have that experience and those memories. So I just want to recommend that, you know, do those things when you're in Amsterdam. Make Amsterdam happen. Go to the I Am Amsterdam sign. Super clever. It's like these giant letters in front of their Capitol building. And you can, like, climb on them and take pictures. Angela and I got the idea. We're super cute. To take a picture with each letter, both of us, and together also. And then we made a collage of I Am Amsterdam with us in each of the letters. It took a while to make, but it was really fun, and I'm glad we did it. I'm going to take a short pause and get back to you with my next segment on transportation around Amsterdam. I'm DJ Amore, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. By the way, tonight at 7 p.m. is a Dominican talent event called Soul Candy, so our radio shows after mine tonight will be postponed until later. Check them out on radio.dominican.edu.
You let me lose my shadow. You are the sun.
back with DJ Mori on Penguin Radio. If you're just tuning in, I was talking about my trip to Amsterdam. That last song was called Boom Clap by Charlie XCX. It's the main theme song in the movie The Fault in Our Stars, which part of was filmed in Amsterdam. So that's relevant to that song. If you liked it, go look it up. To wrap up my show today, I'm going to talk about transportation methods in Amsterdam. So the plane ride to Amsterdam was quite interesting. One of the more scarier ones I've had with EasyJet flights. I've mentioned this before. EasyJet is a reliable plane service, but at the same time, a little sketchy. Just a little bit. The chairs seem kind of like not completely bolted to the ground, but I think that's fine. You know, as long as your seatbelt's good, I think you're okay. But it had a lot of turbulence. It was a nighttime flight, and Angela and I were in the very back of it and had like a seat in between us, which was kind of nice to have that extra room, but still a little nerve-wracking for me to be flying at night. I don't really like doing that, having flights at nighttime, just because I can't see out the window or see anything for that matter. So that was a little interesting, but anyway, once we landed, it was all good. We talked to a customer service rep in the airport in Amsterdam. Something I also recommend, if you are lost or don't have Wi-Fi service or phone connection, once you arrive at your destination, make sure you, before you leave the airport or the train station, wherever you're traveling with, probably safer at airport, make sure you ask questions. Like, find customer service, find an information help desk, and ask them where you're going. Like, where is your hotel? How do I get there? Can I get a taxi? Is there a shuttle bus? Is there a bus? Like, that kind of stuff. Because once you leave, you can't use their Wi-Fi anymore, and you gotta figure out what you're gonna do, and you don't have any connections. So it's always good just to back yourself up and check that stuff out. So we went to an information desk, and she was really nice. And we were staying in an Ibis hotel, which is an airport hotel. So there was a shuttle bus to our hotel from the airport to Ibis. And it took us straight to the hotel. We checked in, no problem, and went straight to bed. Then the next day, we had the issue of trying to figure out how to get from the airport area to actual city of Amsterdam. Even though Amsterdam is an urban area, the actual city, like downtown Amsterdam, if what we would call it here in the States, downtown, was about 45 minutes away by bus. That was fun. Fun fact we didn't know before we got there. So that was a little shocking to find out. But it worked. We asked the front desk, you know, more questions. And they told us that we could catch a ride with the bus service if we bought day passes. So we bought 2 day passes, whatever. What's that, like 42-hour day passes for the bus system. Left that morning to go do our Anne Frank tour at like 10. And it took us like 45 minutes, about an hour, to get to actual Amsterdam. Then once we were dropped off where we needed to go, with my handy dandy map, I figured out how to walk from that bus stop to the Anne Frank house. So it was a lot of bus services and shuttle buses, walking, trams, and the big thing I want to discuss. Amsterdam is all about bikes. They bike everywhere. Bicycles galore. I've never seen so many bikes in one place in my entire life. And to me, it was kind of strange to see. But once I was there after my 2 days of being there, I think that it needs to be implemented here in the States for sure. I mean, they have sidewalks length of bicycle lanes and sidewalks for people to walk. And then they have the bike lanes. And in Amsterdam, if you're from there, if you're a native Netherlands, you're Netherlands and you are living in Amsterdam, you know you don't walk in the bike lanes because people are zooming down. Like, they're going as fast as they're in a car. So you have the street, you have the bike lane going both directions on both sides of the street, and you have the sidewalk. People walking are supposed to stand the sidewalk, and if you're in the bike lane, you gotta make sure you don't hit anybody, because if you hit somebody, it's their fault, which is crazy, but makes sense at the same time, because you're supposed to not be in the bike lane. But it's a really big deal there. When Angela and I were on the bus ride from the hotel to go to the 1975 concert, which is actually like on the other side of Amsterdam City where our hotel was, we had to drive through like the countryside of like Holland to get to the Heineken Music Hall. And it was weird because it was in this, like, deserted, like, little city, like, this little town with, like, a bunch of office buildings and stuff. But there was nothing around it, just a bunch of, like, farmland. So quite interesting. But on the way there in the bus, there was so many people biking from this, like, workspace area and the music hall back into Amsterdam, back into the city. And it was quite interesting to see. I mean, I probably said interesting like 5 times in the last few sentences, but it was. I mean, I'm not used to that. Bike lanes here in the States are super tiny, and you know, sometimes you could get hit, or you have to be more cautious than the people driving because they're just so zoned out or not paying attention that they could hit you, and then you get hurt. But there, they have designated places for them to ride their bikes, and it's a bunch of people doing it. I mean, there was like, you know, parking lot sizes for bicycles, and there'd be thousands of them just stacked up. I mean, I feel like I get confused, like, which bike was mine. But I think it's a really good system. It's, you know, they're all about, you know, being eco-friendly, public transportation, no fossil fuels. So, and Amsterdam is really close. It's like a small province of Holland. So it's really close to everything you want to go do. So biking is, it's actually the biggest form of transportation in Amsterdam. Bigger than cars, bigger than the buses, bigger than the trams on the streets, even more used than the water taxis. Yes, people, they have water taxis, which is also super cool because they have so many canals. All you gotta do is just go to a dock where the water taxi comes and picks you up, pay like, I think, €3, and you can just ride in this water taxi throughout all the canals of Amsterdam until you get to the dock you want to be at, and then get off and walk to your destination. I just thought that was amazing. I mean, I know that they have to have the canals because they're below sea level, so they're kind of flooding. And even now, I was hearing that some of the structures in Amsterdam are eroding because of the water level rising. So they had to have the canals, but the way they adapted them and like use them is pretty clever and something I definitely appreciated. And I had a great time there with, you know, all the different ways of transportation. I think it was one of the places I went to that was the easiest to get around in. And I'm really appreciative of that. And I definitely think that there needs to be some kind of petition to get those here in the States. I think it'd be really beneficial. We definitely have the space for them. So that needs to happen like as soon as possible. To hear more of my travel diaries, tune in at 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Next week, we'll be traveling to the city of Berlin, Germany. This has been DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. Arrivederci!